we do it like we do it.
Hey, hey.
Hi.
Happy Tuesday.
Just want to let you guys know, once in a very rare while, I leave LA. I crawl out of my little bubble, and I'm coming at you live from Portland, Oregon. Don't worry, I return to my bubble tomorrow. So
you're a man of the people for 48 hours.
Yeah. I was gonna say, don't think I'm expanding my horizons. That's against my nature. I'm just on a quick trip. So here we are.
Oh my gosh! I was about to say, against your Aquarian nature. I was doing a reading this morning for a listener of ours who lives in Amsterdam. Ooh. And I kind of mentioned your Aquarian nature to her, like how you don't like curveballs thrown at you. But then at the same time, then it takes you a minute and then you're like, oh, well, I see that, because you're such like an out of the box thinker, but it takes, when other people throw things to your box, you're like, oh, wait a minute.
It only makes sense in my head, and it takes me a minute to process thoughts from other people's heads.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in my 20s, someone said, I'm set in my own ways, like an old man. You're like,
I can see that.
Yeah. Well, you're a Leo with an Aquarius rising. Those are both fixed signs, and it's very, very set in your ways. Real quick, before we start getting into things more, a couple of days ago, Bravo announced on, at least I saw it on Instagram, that they've gone into their vault and released some old school Bravo shows like NYC Prep, Tabitha Takes Over, The Real Housewives of DC, The Rachel Zoe Project. And I was like, oh, Real Housewives of DC and NYC Prep are two. Those are two PCP ones. We've talked about them before. And DC, especially.
I'm so excited for the people. There are a lot of people who came into Bravo later as fans, or it's just been so long they forgot about DC. And I'm reading their posts, watching their reactions as they discover it. Because I've been like, I'm Michaela Salahi's number one cheerleader.
one fake Redskin cheerleader.
Oh, yeah. I think what I consider her trip to the White House, Bravo, it put Bravo on the map. It was like it was an international issue. It was a national security issue. There was a congressional hearing. People forget that. Like, it was like some of these things we see now that we clutch our pearls about our child's play. She woke up one day and said, I'm breaking into the White House. And she did. And, yeah, I love seeing people discover it.
I mean, it's Housewives canon. It is Housewives canon. And it is the original scandal. Like, you can't, and because it was only on for one season, that's the reason it was only on for one season, was because of her.
I know. Well, the thing is, now that's how much Bravo has changed. Now the boundaries have been pushed so far out. What Michaela Salahi did at the White House then would have gotten her two more seasons at least, if it was done today. But back then it was just like Bravo had never dealt with something on that scale. So I'm glad everyone's rediscovering it or rediscovering it. She's one of my favorite out. She's an inspiration. What she pulled off.
And then she married the guitarist from Journey. That was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think they're still together. I don't believe, but I could be wrong about that.
No, they're married. Neil Schon and Mikhail.
I didn't know if they still were. I didn't know. Yeah. I don't really keep up with them too much.
She woke up one day and was like, I'm going to be a housewife. I'm going to be a cheerleader. I'm going to go to the White House. I'm going to marry a rock star and never look back. Most of those things weren't true, but she didn't let reality get in the way of her dreams. And
she is the American dream. Like, don't let anybody tell you that you cannot achieve your dreams in this country. Right. You can be on television and you can scam the world and you can marry a rock star.
Yeah.
Feminism.
That's fun. And NYC Prep too, another one. I mean, love that show.
We love it. We love it.
I do read, and there are articles put out periodically. Where are they now? I mean, it's not that those kids really shied away from it going forward, but none of their lives really turned out the way we expected them to. No one went to an Ivy League. The girl from public school, she's been seen like kind of panhandling in the subways. So it's been a rough ride for them, but yeah.
Well, let's move on to something else then, because there was a lot of Bravo news this week. Some is happy, some is not. Well, Candace is pregnant from Real Housewives of Potomac, so happy for them. So she's pregnant. And then what else? Alexia and Todd from Miami are getting divorced. Who is shocked by that? Maybe she's the only one who is shocked by that, because all of us
are. I was
not
pretty surprised.
Because you watch so much Miami.
I knew who Larsa Pippen is.
Her response was surprise. She, at least what she put out there, is that she didn't know it was being filed. That it hit her in the press with everyone else. Alexa, I don't know if it's true or not.
That's kind of difference between knowing that it's being filed versus knowing that it's just that you're going to get divorced. Yeah. So, but Alexia likes to live in Delulu land. So, you know, that's a place she likes to live in. And a lot of people were like, Adriana was right. It's vindication for Adriana this season. And it seems to always be, I'll say this, Adriana's, you know, shoots from the hip. She says a lot of things just out of, like, just flies out of her mouth. And you're like, oh my gosh, wrong time. But she is right. I would say 95% of the time, what she says is correct. Like, it comes back.
She deserves a mojito next season.
Amen. She totally. I don't understand why she and Marisol don't have mojitos. Like, they need them. Come on. All those women need mojitos. But yeah. And then what else?
There's a lot. Crystal. We got hit with story revelation after revelation with Bravo this week. It was all like one afternoon.
Monday it was like a bloodbath. It was tax day and it was a Bravo bloodbath, like everybody.
The Ides of Bravo.
The Ides of Bravo.
Oh, we got two big ones. When God closes one mink off, he opens the other.
That's right.
First one up, Crystal Minkoff out. No longer a housewife of Beverly Hills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, if without Anne Marie, she didn't have any storylines this year. They were just foils to each other. Like, the only other thing they even tried with Crystal was the plot line with her brother leaving, how upset she was, and that kind of they mentioned it a few times, but nobody seemed to care.
Yeah.
Nobody cared. No. Yeah. Nobody cared, and that just that completely fell flat. And after three seasons, it's just as like It was funny because Tamra said something responded to somebody on Twitter. And so I can't remember everything verbatim, but somebody was like, if you don't have much going on in your life, you're not bringing anything to Housewives, you should be fired. And Tamra was like, well, then half of all Housewives should be fired then. And I was like, she's speaking the truth. So there are times when you don't have a ton going on in your life, but you know, and Tamra's one of them, you know how to stir the pot. And create the drama, and like be you might not be a main character in that season per se, but you know how to be the supporting character. You know how to make stuff happen. Crystal didn't know how to do that, so she, in that sense, she was. And her husband, I think, even said she wasn't, or she said to her husband that she wasn't a good housewife. So,
what this past season when they aired that scene where she's talking to Rob and saying like, the women say I'm like disengaged, and while on the surface, she was talking about friendships. She was talking about the show and the housewives, and that house, and that the producers aired it, told me it was a final note. They were letting you know they were getting rid of her at that point. She was explaining why she's not making it on the show. So,
Au
revoir.
So sad.
I don't, she was a good. She was a good filler housewife, but she had a full run, three seasons. She didn't bring enough. Some people were like, "Oh, she was just getting interesting," after three seasons, which, by the way, she was getting less interesting. But either way, three seasons, you can't break out. You're done. They were lucky. Yeah.
Can they keep Rob? Because he had some fun one-liners.
He was starting to become a messy house husband.
Funny.
He could
be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know much about Rebecca Minkoff, actually. So I was getting a lot of my news from the socials. So, do you know much about her, Jordan?
Yes. Well, not tons, but Rebecca is filming Housewives of New York. So we have a new Minkoff, different coast. What I
any
do know,
relation?
I don't know. I mean, they could be cousins because Minkoff is a unique name, like Drescher, and the way we had Aviva and Fran. I don't know how closely related.
I did it because I saw that name. I did a little bit of a deep dive. I couldn't find anything. Mm-hmm. And by a little bit of deep dive, I went to the Wikipedia pages. It was a very intense, two-minute search. But there was no mention of them being related.
Okay. Yeah. And they, so Rebecca Minkoff, we don't know if she's full-time or a friend of, but she is filming New York this upcoming season. She's a purse designer, accessories. Mm-hmm. And she... The big controversy here is that she's a Scientologist, which is that the first for a housewife to be openly, at least?
I believe so. I could be wrong, but I think that's the first Scientologist. I mean, we've had a witch, but we've not had a Scientologist, I think.
That brings out a lot of tension with people. I mean, she's Jewish, too. Minkoff. I mean, like, just like Rob, Crystal's husband, but she's a Scientologist, and not just like a dabbling Scientologist, like a girl who moves, an actress who moves to LA and is trying to, no, she is like a major donor to Scientology. Like, she probably has Tom on speed dial.
Oof. Damn. She visits the Celebrity Center.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I just hope that she'll talk about it. That's my whole thing.
I seriously doubt that. No, she won't. Or else she'll be Shelley Miscavige'd.
Yeah. It's like having people going onto these shows knowing they're hiding everything that's interesting about them is frustrating. And it is a secret of religion. So,
quote unquote religion. by tax definitions only.
Yeah.
my personal opinion. So anywho, great. Now I'm gonna have people following
me.
Yeah,
that was her that said it, not me. Just go after her.
No, Jordan does a great imitation of my voice.
Yes. It's very spot on, actually.
It's amazing. Oh my goodness. Well, that's a lot. I feel like there was some more stuff, but I feel like a lot of it's also been like talked about so much already in the past week, because like literally all that stuff happened. We had just recorded on Sunday because we record on Sunday. So all that stuff had happened after we recorded. And I was like, God fucking damn it. Of course you let all this information out and we did, God.
At least it helps us narrow it down to the important stuff. Because sometimes within a day, we realize things were boring. We're like, if it's still cool on Sunday, then that story stood the test of time.
Yeah, exactly. Well, do we want to take a quick break before we move on to more important things?
Yeah, let's dive into the shows this week in just a couple moments. I guess as promised, we should just dive right into this week's show. Since it is a Housewives-free month right now on Bravo programming, the best place to start is Vanderpump Rules.
A lot of crying this week. A lot of different characters crying this week. You had There were. A lot of mostly men, though. You had Tom crying, Sandoval crying when we found out Rachel doesn't love him anymore because he heard it on a podcast. You had James crying because he learned that his teenage girlfriend is not ready to have his children yet, which is shocking after a year and a half. I mean, she's pretty young, right? Like the fact that she's like not ready to have kids or get married, it's not terribly surprising.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom's tears.
He cries a lot, though.
We're like, I was like, wait a minute.
Oh, yeah.
They're all fake tears. He's taken too many acting classes and that's the one thing he can do. That's the one acting thing that he can do is cry. The fact that he's so upset that Rachel said that she didn't love him. And I'm just thinking back to the very end of last season when they picked up cameras again. And there was that faux pas where Rachel said, I love you too, because she thought he had said, I love you, when in fact he had said, they love you. But he never said, I love you back to her with that. So we never saw him say ever that I love her, I love you to her on camera, as far as I can recall. So then all of a sudden it's very convenient that she is not on the show anymore. She's not telling her side. She's only doing it on podcasts for free to Bethany and now on our own. But in this case, it was the Bethany podcast. But, you know, oh, now you love her so much. Now you love her so much and you're so upset. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so convenient.
I mean, it is true. Like when you think about it, it's great that she never came back because then, I mean, he's not doing a great job of it. Obviously, everyone hates him, but it did give him an opportunity to spin his own narrative. And it's only his side of the story, which is also probably why this week that podcast dropping with her finally speaking was a bomb to him. He kind of had her locked away and quiet. He was saying whatever he wanted. It's like, God damn it. Who let her out of the attic?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she, when he was talking with James, which I love that scene. I thought it was so great. I thought it was so on point. I love it when James gets angry. It just flies off the handle of people. And when he's not drunk. But when Tom said, and I quote, she was selfish when she got involved with me. And I was like, and he's saying that as if he thinks that James is gonna commiserate with him. And James can like commiserate in like a few things, and it's like, yeah, like I see some similarities. But when he's like, she was selfish when she got with me, I was like, you both were selfish. You both were fucking selfish. Like, how was she entirely the only selfish one here? When you were the one like fucking her downstairs in her car, right? And then getting back and like going upstairs and then sleeping with your girlfriend. Like, shut the fuck up. Like, shut the absolute fuck up. He's making himself to be the victim here. And I was like, oh, God. Everything.
He did get in a good jab at James about go push the buttons on your laptop. There's no better burn to a DJ than just telling him to go push the buttons on their laptop. That was pretty good. I mean, James also made fun of his karaoke band, so it was pretty even, I suppose. That was the saddest rehearsal I've ever seen. Why are you using a little smoke machine during your rehearsal? Because that's hysterical. Hysterical.
Oh, God.
I mean, they do. Well, the band sounds all right. He sounds terrible. Yeah. Like, the band sounds good, actually. I was just like, oh, okay. But this is the funny thing, though, is that I saw an Instagram post. Somebody, it might have been Queens of Bravo or might have been somebody else. And it was a picture of James at Coachella DJing. And it was like when Tom tells him to go push the buttons on his computer. And then James, like, James at least is playing Coachella, like DJing at Coachella, you know? Like,
oh, it wasn't just Coachella. It was the VIP party we were talking about last week in the Sahara. Yeah. I mean, so it was a major come up for him.
Mm-hmm.
We actually, could we talk about the music careers on Vanderpump Rules? Because another one that needs to give it up. That one song 10 years ago.
I have a question about that. That was my first question, is when she was finally making the video and she mentioned that the song was 10 years old. That's a long time to wait mm-hmm. to make a video. And then today,
it's been around since the beginning of this show.
The today I saw clips going around of the video, which I assume was the video they filmed last summer, because people made it seem like it was newer, but Schwartz was in it blonde, so it had to have been, so I assume it was the one they recorded on the episode. That song is fucking awful. Just awful.
It's terrible. It's terrible. It's like, it's one of those things where it's just like funny. But yeah, she recorded it 10 years ago as like a pop song. And I don't know if she ever did a music video to it. But yeah, but she like still continues to try to like make it. It's like trying to make Fetch a thing. Like that's yeah. good as she, gold. That's what she is with Good as Gold.
There's been two. I don't recall if she performed the song before, but the only other time I've seen her perform that was this season is at the emo night at the beginning of the season when like they were all at the mm-hmm. Avalon. I don't recall what song that was, but that was equally as terrible. So if that is the extent, yeah, like at least Erica G can make fun of, but she's got bangers. Like they're not great songs, but they're bangers. These songs are shit. Absolute shit.
How many fucks do I give? And it's yeah. expensive to be me. So are like those are so bangers. Good. I love those yeah. songs.
So good.
And you know, she's still pushing Good as Gold in the theme every year of her reunion wardrobe, including mm-hmm. this one. It's another gold dress. Like how at least come out with another Luann could have like a best of cabaret album at this point. She's had more than one song since people laughed at her doing this. I don't know why she keeps I don't know why Sheena keeps rehashing this one song that was never like iconic to begin with. Is she think she's doing remixes of a song no one wanted mixed in the first
like,
place.
Long before I ever watched any or saw any Bravo or anything, I knew about Don't Be Tardy. Like, I knew that song, even though I was not part of the Bravo world, because it was that, like, I don't want to say iconic, that's a stretch, but it reached outside Bravo. This, I don't know what this is that she's trying to do. It's just, it's not good.
Mm.
So the
give it up.
I don't know about you guys, but so we're pretty sure that Sandoval's hooking up with his new assistant Craig, right? There was a lot of sexual chemistry there, and evidently Craig just lives there. He was walking around like he lives in the house. It's like I think Schwartz to move in and for them to have some sort of bizarre threesome orgy thruple thing going on.
Yeah. Well, like I said last week, I was pretty sure that Anne was not invited to parties like Craig was, and he probably wasn't picking up after Tom like Anne was. And then we saw this week that no, he was not picking up after Tom like Anne was. So he's not, yeah. he's assistant in name only, well, not in action. And so it also just kind of, again, yeah. it leans into my fit theory that it's like for Tom, a female assistant is a maid and
or
a
lover.
Male assistant is
or
a
lover.
Buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or lover, yeah. or both. A buddy lover.
We did get to the bottom of the finances of the house. Because remember, we've been like, yes. there's something missing to the story. Ariana won't let him buy her out. And we're like, there has to be something wrong here. Like, something's missing. Yeah, he can't afford to buy her out. He's been lying all along. Which shouldn't be a surprise, but we finally got the confirmation. He's trying to charge Schwartz, what, $6,000 a month?
$6,000.
Right?
Yeah. And Schwartz is like, I pay $4,500 now, and I would have absolutely not that he has equity in his current place. And that's not a condo. It's an apartment, right?
No, it's like, an apartment.
Yeah. But yeah, he'd make him pay $6,000 to move into the house, which Schwartz said already the optics there are terrible. But then he kind of just threw in at the end, we would have to go get a loan. So he like wanted to put Schwartz on a loan, which don't ever do that. Don't, mm-hmm. unless you're married. And even then, never co-sign a loan for a friend ever. Cause that's never
good. Ariana learned that the hard way already.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
it's the smartest thing that I've seen Schwartz ever do in like, what, 11 years ever do. But speaking of the loans, I don't know if you guys are watching the after show. Ariana goes into like more depth about this. And she talks about how, yeah, of course I'm right. Because he finally realizes after me taking my time and doing my due diligence and everything like that, but me having said that we should sell it, that he, to buy me out, would have to refinance the mortgage. And then this, I think she said it was a HELOC loan that she also co-signed on. So there's two loans that they took out. There's the mortgage and this loan they took out in 2021. At 2021 interest rates that he would have to refinance at 2023 interest rates. So he would lose. So it's like these loans, you'd lose so much money. And then can you afford all the upkeep? And luckily, this is the interesting thing. Some people don't realize this. Property taxes in California are not as bad as property taxes in some other states because we have state income tax. But you still have property tax and you still have all these other things that you have to pay for, which also you know that Sandoval would make Schwartz pay. He would nickel and dime Schwartz. That's the thing too. Because at least Schwartz, you live in an apartment building, something breaks, you call your manager and they get it fixed for you. Like Sandoval would be like, well, you got to call the person and you got to pay to fix this and da 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 da. And so it'd be way more money. Like
he was trying to scam Schwartz to keep himself afloat, which kind of tells you where that friendship is.
Well, and also I saw this, Emily from She Speaks Bravo, she had a theory, which she'd also kind of heard somewhere else, but I was like, yes, because that had been in the back of my mind too, that that maybe Schwartz had, I mean, not Schwartz, Sandoval had thought that Rachel would get out and would move in with him, that they would, and that she would like do that, that there's a possibility that in his like fucked up mind, even though it doesn't really, the math doesn't really math on that, but that, you know, break up and that would work out, even though it still wouldn't work out because he would still have to refinance and do all of that stuff. But that was his theory. And so now it was like, well, if she can't, then I'll just get Schwartz.
But Schwartz was so like, he's basically looking for anyone. He's looking around the room for anyone with a Bravo paycheck who could help keep his house of cards afloat. Soon he'll be like, Ken, it's not really that great with Lisa, is it? Why don't you come to my bachelor pad?
100%.
I really do hope that the sperm donor parties become a new trend because that looked like a lot of fun.
I'd actually rather go to one of those parties than a baby shower.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the games seem about the same. I love that Lala, they just made it seem like she planned it in a day, like that she had everything. She had everything ready to go, catering, flowers, everything. But then she was looking for a place. And so she just told Lisa, she's like, no, I got everything ready to go. Can we do it tomorrow? And then they cut to Lisa's house and it's this beautifully done party and everything. Yeah, sure. That's real.
Yeah.
I did find it interesting, though, at the beginning of the episode, she asked Ariana if she could use her house. And it was like, bitch, I'm sorry, Lala. You've been on this chick about why isn't she moving out of her goddamn house? And now you want to use her goddamn house to host
Lala's
your sperm
been
party?
This all season?
Like,
no, she's thrown two of the wildest parties I've ever seen. A bottled water tasting at James's house. And now a sperm donor party. At least, like, she's scamming people into having her host these parties, which is good for her. I love it. I loved Lisa's reaction and response when she learned about, since she didn't know what a sperm donor party was. I'm paraphrasing, but Lisa's like, there's not going to be men jerking off at most, right? And I was like, oh, that's good, Lisa.
Oh, God. Did she think Lala was going to be like,
yeah, I think she
naked
did.
Sushi parties? Lala was going to be the centerpiece of the table and we were going to watch her.
Well, I mean, we all know Lala. I mean, if you've been watching the show since the beginning and since she came on like the third or fourth season, like Lala like has been putting it all out there for a long time. So I don't think it really is out of the realm of questioning for Lisa to ask that question. I would be there too. I'd be like, mm-mm. She'd be like, actually, Lisa was probably thinking, I don't want any of my dogs to get pregnant. Please,
oh,
no.
God.
It's fun making you uncomfortable.
I wouldn't know what to do at that party either. If I saw the invitation, I think I'd be like, what? Like, are you going to reveal the donor? Like, I don't know. This was a first for me as well.
Yeah. Oh, can I talk about something that also came up on social media in regards to this? Because, I mean, yes. Well, we had no Joe this episode. There was like talk of Joe, but we had no Joe this episode. And we were nice about Joe last week, you know, feeling bad for her. And I no longer, and that was for a moment. And I've gone back to not feeling bad for her, because apparently she put up a Instagram live with a friend of hers and we're taking questions. And we all know those go really well for people who are not media savvy. And so, yeah, she was asked a bunch of questions. She talked about basically about like, yeah, that she sucked Tom off and that he was really good in bed and yada, yada. I said that to make Jordan's face red.
and you did. Mission accomplished.
But one of the things, somebody asked her if she thought that, basically, if she thought that Schwartz was her other half, if they're supposed to be together. And she's like, yeah, I think we are supposed to be together. And like, this is like, and that he's just, we're just figuring things out. And she does her whole like Joe dance type of thing without using her actual freaking words. Like, and I was like, girl, he's got a girlfriend. He's got a girlfriend now. Like, he's got a 20-something girlfriend now, sweetie. He definitely went younger. Like, this 40-year-old man has gone young. So let's just chill out. No.
Yeah.
And she's about to go on summer break from high school, Schwartz's girlfriend. So they're going to have all summer to hang out.
She's really excited.
Isn't she? She's like 23.
Yeah, she's 20. She like just graduated from college. Yeah. She's an adult now, but like, you know, but he probably needs help with his rent and Joe moved out. So, you know, I mean, $4,500 is a lot. So I don't even pay that much. So like, he's paying a lot in rent. So Joe moved out. He needs somebody to help him. So he's now got a 23-year-old girlfriend who can help him. So there you go.
I'll give VPR this. They're honest about realistic amounts of money. We're in Housewives. We're like, they don't own that house. They don't work. How do they afford it? Dorit. but on VPR, they get into the numbers and it's very practical things like rent for an apartment or dividing bills. So these people do make a lot of money, but in that sense, it's still grounded in almost relatable financial issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is because we've also seen them. We started seeing them as struggling servers, actors, waiters, model, like all that type of stuff. So that was kind of the nice thing, even though you don't necessarily love it. You like the glitz and the glam. Like they still, in a sense, like they're still like they're middle class now. Like whereas before they were working class, now they're like middle class.
I always like my shows to deliver a sense of toxic opulence, but it was interesting because honestly too, remember I live in the valley and everything, and I'm curious what these people pay for things, you know, like hearing how much Schwartz's apartment in Valley Village goes for. I'm like, oh damn, that's pricey, like, you know, like learning what these numbers go for. It's depressing, but it's educational.
I mean, honestly, when I heard he paid that much, I was like, I'm pretty sure he's like a two-bedroom, two-bath at least. But I'm like, in Valley Village, but I'm like, what all are you getting for that? Because even a two-bedroom, two-bath in my place in Hollywood, which is a nice building, it's not a super new building, but it's still a nice building, is less than $3,000. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's still just under $3,000. And they're large size too. Like they're pretty good size. So I'm just like, why are you paying that? Did you buy like a new build or something? which honestly, I hate all the new builds here in Los Angeles. They're paper thin walls. It's ridiculous. Give me an old place. Like this place is about 40 years old and they've redone it and stuff, but the walls are thick. Like I barely hear anything out of my neighbors. It's glorious. I love it every day. That's why I never leave my place, because I don't hear a goddamn thing. They also put in those soundproofing windows a few years ago too. So when I moved in, I was like, I don't hear a jack shit. I love it every day. So yeah. Anywho, enough about that.
Did you guys see that just because, you know, Katie and Sheena are doing this Chili's thing now, which by the way, that espresso martini they're shilling looks fucking terrible. It's not a martini. You see what's in it? It's tequila, spiced rum, agave, and espresso. It's closer to a margarita than a martini. Yeah. We're being really fast and loose. We're being real fast and loose with martini.
I mean, the idea of coffee and espresso is just more like sodium of ipecac. Is that what it's called? The thing they give you in hospitals to make you vomit.
To make you throw up.
It's like... It's like people think that espresso martinis have become like the people. It's like the classy Red Bull and vodka. It's like, I'm not going to do Red Bull and vodka. I'll have an espresso martini. Bitch, shut up. Yeah. Like, I'm so glad I stopped bartending before those became like what everybody was drinking. They're just terrible. Yeah. And I fucking hate anything in martini glass too.
Yeah, it's the worst. It's absolute worst. But part of this campaign they're doing is last week, Sheena worked like, I don't know, like a shift, I guess, at Chili's. Mm-hmm. I believe it was the one in Encino, because they said that Chili's on Ventura, which I'm pretty sure it's that one in Encino. Unless
it was the one in Encino on Ventura. It's literally, to be honest, right around the corner from Kyle Richards. It's one of the closest shopping centers to her house.
Yeah. It's like across from like Encino Commons, right?
Yeah.
It's Encino Commons. It's part of that stretch.
The funniest thing about it was that you had mentioned with her coming from them all coming from a server's working class, you know, sort of where they started. And they said that people at the Chili's started to recognize her and take photos. Would it be outside the realm of possibility that they thought she actually was going back to working at a Chili's? Like that's where she had gone, you know, this was not a promotional thing. It was, oh, poor Sheena. She's working. Cause she acknowledged she worked at a Chili's many, many years ago. So is it that outside the realm of possibility she's back at Chili's?
Oh, like as if people were kind of like, oh, the contract.
Yeah.
If I saw Sheena working at the Chili's, and I would take a picture and post and be like, breaking news, she didn't get a new contract renewal. So.
Right. Yeah.
Well, like earlier this year, there was a thing that went viral where Lana Del Rey was working a shift at Waffle House and people were really confused because it was a Waffle House in the South. It wasn't in a major metropolitan area. And people were like, why is Lana Del Rey? And it turned out, of course, it was like a promotional thing. But Sheena's different because that one hits a little too close to reality that she might one day be back at Chili's.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
People could have seen that and been very confused.
God,
Nothing wrong with working at Chili's, by the way. That place is awesome.
They should have at least had her wear her server dress, the classic sir, just something. Because otherwise, it's not that outside the realm of possibility.
Well, the preview for next week is that Jax is going to be back. And I was like, why are we giving him two shows to be on?
A lot of crossover lately, huh?
Lots of crossovers. So, and everybody thinks that, you know, that Lala is going to go to the Valley. So we'll see. But I think we should talk about the Valley now.
Yeah. Lala, let's just open with Lala has openly been saying now in interviews she would like to transition to the Valley. So let's start in the
Valley. I'm here for it.
Absolutely.
Let's go to the Valley.
I'm really enjoying this show. Maybe I just feel warm and fuzzy because I'm getting to start at the beginning with you guys. But I'm enjoying it. I like it. And we got some.
I'm so happy.
Yeah, right?
Converted you. Ooh, your big boy is growing up.
I do. I mean, as you know, I'm just being introduced to Kristen now. But even I, from these five episodes I've seen, when she said, when she made the comment about how it's hard to be an empath like herself and everybody just lost their shit. I've only seen her for five episodes and I thought that was funny. So I can only imagine what you guys thought seeing it. Like, it was amazing that they cut right to Janet, and Janet's like, I wonder if Kristen knows what that word means.
Yeah.
I guffawed, and I laughed even harder with the editor's shady cuts.
Yeah, I was going to say, they leaned into, we're going to call her out here.
Oh, they went down deep into the Vanderpump Rules archives even. I mean, they just brought out a decade of Kristen Doty behavior. Just like, timelines, evidence, receipts.
Exactly. That's exactly what it was.
They even had, so like, this was at they kept calling it like the Barbie Malibu Dream House, but the house that they were having their like ladies' night. Thing. Later that night, after she said the empath thing, Brittany was talking about her non-existent sex life and talking about, I think it was like having what, sex once every 1 month and a half or something. Then they cut to Kristen's confessional where she said once every 1.5 months. I sort of feel bad about that, but not really. Like literally the polar opposite of an empath. Like making fun of Brittany for how little she has sex at the same event she just claimed to be an empath at. Like it's amazing.
It's like in The Princess Bride. Yeah. Like I don't think that word means what it means.
There was like a record scratch when she said
something else. At the party with Kristen. So we know she came in saying she took a pregnancy test. She thought she was pregnant this morning sickness. The test is negative, but she still feels she might be pregnant. So she's going to wait. Cut to that same party, same evening. She's drinking. This all from the story a couple hours before she's crossing her fingers, she has a baby in her. So I was like, I even screenshot it. I was just like, I had to rewind. I was like, that's not water. We all know she's not pregnant, but she was going with that into the party and then is pounding wine.
Look, so. I mean, so I am pretty sure that I was conceived when my parents were drunk, and I think most of us were conceived on some type of alcoholic binge. So I think it's okay. Numbers working, know.
Yeah.
Granted, if she was doing IVF, I would say no, but you know, so many friends in college got drunk and pregnant. It works, you know. It's all right. Oh, well, it's I still really hope she doesn't have a baby with this guy.
like Michelle said, we don't need another. Yeah,
I was just going to say that Michelle's exact quote was, please don't have the kid because we don't need more of you around. Burn. Burn.
I mean, that was so mean, but so hilarious. She
not walked it back, but I don't know if Michelle did like a IG story Q&A this weekend. Where she was just answering fan questions and reposting them. And somebody asked her if she felt bad about saying that. And she actually said she had a lot of regrets about saying that. Which, you know.
That's the thing with confessionals is that you say things and you haven't seen like everything. You know what I mean? And so it's definitely, I think it's one of those things where Michelle hasn't been on a reality show before. So it's going to hit Michelle harder. And a lot of these people, whereas like Brittany and Jax and Kristen, they've all been on a show before, so it's not going to hit them as hard. They're kind of going to, they're just going to go, I know, I've got this. I already know this. What this is and what goes on here.
It's actually the first interesting thing Michelle has said the entire season. She's kind of a little, although evidently she's living quite a life outside the show with her mystery director that everybody's going all in on that she.
Well, have you seen the rumors of who it is? It wasn't too hard to put together.
Yeah,
Michael Bay.
Well, the first one everybody said was Tarantino because eagle-eyed people were noticing that Jax and Jason seemed to, you know, they bleeped it, but they mouthed, it looked like they said Tarantino. And there's the fact that Quentin Tarantino is at the Chateau all the time. Like, I used to go there maybe once or twice a month for lunch. He was there almost every time. So that's like his spot. So that wouldn't surprise me. He's actually really mean. Like, the last time I saw him at the Chateau, Tarantino was yelling at the servers because they ran out of black salt for his margarita. And he was pissed off. The funniest thing is he supplies the hotel with the black salt. He's the only one that orders it. So he brings it himself for the hotel to give him. And they ran out and he just lost his shit. But anyway, he's at the Chateau all the time. So it's very possible it could be him.
I've heard that it's Michael Bay. Someone had a whole theory about that. And I was like, I co-sign.
It's two-pronged. She follows Michael Bay, which on its own, I mean, she follows like 1,000 people. But there was a blind from a while back that said that it's King Sugar Daddy Michael Bay was seen flexing his Sugar Daddy muscles as he walked along Sunset Boulevard with his latest mystery hottie. Once he saw the flashing cameras, he split from the chick and headed in another direction. They were both headed towards the Chateau. So people are thinking maybe that's Michelle, even though there's no description except for, I mean, Michael Bay showing up to a hotel was a woman. That could be anybody.
Quentin Tarantino does spend, he bought a place. His wife is Israeli. I'm not saying because he's married, he's not sleeping with Michelle. That doesn't rule anything out. But he actually lives in Israel. Primarily at this point or most of the time. So for it just narrows the time he's available for Mrs. Lawley, the future former Mrs. Lawley. So
it was something about like what the guys were saying. And I was like, for me, it felt like an action like director. And I was like, I wonder if it's Michael Bay. That's the one that fell in my head.
They also said like an actor, a big name actor started hanging out with them too. So I'm trying to think, well, if Tarantino, it could be a number of big actors, but it also could be from Bay. But it's just the way it was described that, oh yeah, she goes down there like almost every day for lunch. Sometimes she, with the same person. Yeah. Sometimes she goes out drinking that night. Yeah. Sometimes she doesn't come home. And it's so obvious. Jesse's just kind of, he's kind of like trying to entrap her. He's like, meh. I'm okay if she does it because I will get to use it against her forever. Like custody for the kid maybe, but also just I'm going to hold it over your head forever. If our daughter, I can't recall her name, if she ever asked why we got separated, it's because mom
Isabella.
Cheated. Isabel. So like you can tell he doesn't really care. He's almost wants her to do it. It's crazy.
She did you see the look on Jax's face in the hot tub? He knew exactly.
Well, Luke knows.
Luke was out there saying,
yeah,
I could say something that could blow, I know something, but if I say it will like blow up his world or something. But less credibility because he's with Kristen, and that's a very Kristen thing to say. But Jax's look was just like he knew exactly what was going on. People pointed out, though,
also, if you go back to the Capri party, when the screaming first starts and Kristen's trying to explain herself, she yells to Michelle, I've been protecting you this whole time. So people are like, wait, you yell that? And now Luke's saying secret? So they definitely know.
Yeah.
Well, there's a preview for next week's episode and that's been going around, and it is Jax having lunch with Jasmine and they are talking, and Jax is doing his messy way of like dropping information without like, I'm just trying to be honest here. You know, this is upset, you know, whatever that Kristen knows, that Michelle's cheating on Jesse. Basically that's what he's telling Jasmine. And then later on, they are apparently at some event at Skybar, which apparently Skybar's become the Valley and Pump Rules' new place to film. I guess it's the only way they're staying open these days.
I was going to say it either means a resurgence in popularity, or more likely it's fallen so far down the scale cheap to stay open. They're essentially renting it out for filming.
That was my thought.
Yeah. So Yeah. So then Jasmine is talking with Janet, and Janet is really kind of pushing Jasmine for the information. And Jasmine's like, you know what? I don't really want to like talk about what I talked about with Jax. And then she's comparing the two. She's like, Jax is messy in his kind of like, well, I don't know. I just feel like people need to tell the truth type of way. Whereas like Janet's like, I need to find this stuff out because I want to stir the pot and I'm going to hide behind my pregnancy type of thing. So she, and basically it's like, well, should we ask Kristen? Should we ask Jax? Should we ask Brittany? Like that's what Janet is doing. So this whole fight that we've seen in the trailer for next week, the preview at the end of this past week's episode, we saw them fighting in a hallway, and we've seen this already in some stuff, some fight in the hallway. That's this week. It's probably going to be at the very end of the episode. It's going to carry on into the next week, into the following week. But it looks like it's going to come out that Kristen has been talking about Michelle cheating on Jesse with this director down at the chateau. But the thing is that Kristen is talking about it with Luke, and she's talking about it with her best friend, Jax. And those are the only two people she's talking about it with because, you know, Michelle's told her. That's it. But then, of course, like Janet's making it messy, and they're making it messy for the TV show too.
I feel the Jesse Michelle marriage is interesting, or breakup is interesting, because usually we posted about it, we've talked about it on Housewives, the Kelsey Camille Grammer situation, where the husband has the wife join when he's ready to get rid of her, and then, you know, the classic Housewives divorce. In this case, I think Michelle signed on for the Valley to leave her husband behind. From episode one, the marriage was falling apart, and it had been going on for a while. And she seems to be the one who's not, like, he's the one, even if his efforts aren't always sincere, at least on camera, he's like kind of begging her to stay with him, or, you know, they're working on it. She is stone cold, emotionally checked out. It's over. Nothing's going to win her back. There was a point in this episode where he said, like, you know, I want to stay together. I want to work on it. And she cringes a little. She like winced. She was uncomfortable because she can't return that feeling. And she was just like, I can't make promises.
I think he's doing it for the business too. Like, he said during the Capri party that he was not as upset about them calling her a racist so much as he was upset about what it does for their business if she is called a racist. And he probably thinks this is a bad look I don't think he cares about her, just given how nonchalant he was about the potentially cheating. And she actually addressed that. I mentioned that she was doing the IG Q&A thing. Somebody asked her about the director thing, and she chalked it up to, I'm a real estate agent, it's networking, as if networking is going to the same place every day with the same man. But then she also said, you know, she was asked about the current state of her relationship with Jesse now, since we know after the fact they're separated, and she has a new boyfriend. People track down photos of her with the new boyfriend. And she said that somebody asked if she ever sees herself getting back with Jesse, and she said, oh, but I hope we can be friends one day. So we already know how this ends. It's not like the Jax Brittany where is it fake? Is it real? Because these people you didn't know going into this season. So there's no reason to think this isn't real.
I mean, and the interesting thing was when she talks about the beginnings of their relationship, she never really saw a future with him. He was kind of a booty call.
She said it's a booty call that's lasted 3.5 years.
Yeah. I'm kind of like, and to find out, actually, I think that they got married. They weren't pregnant from what I can tell when they got married. So it wasn't like a shotgun wedding or anything like that, you know, that they felt that they had to get married. So I'm like, why did you get married to a guy that you weren't that into in the first place? That's what I kind of like wonder. I don't know. Like, but you know, the lies we tell ourselves when we're desperate for love and getting older, like, and want kids and stuff like that. Cause he's, you know, I think they both probably lied to themselves, you know, and in whatever ways things happen. So, yeah, but she's definitely checked out for whatever reason.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, it's just like, oh, but cool, also, though.
like in that, again, it's usually the husband on Bravo who's checked out, the Russell Armstrong, mm-hmm. the Kelsey Grammer, that kind. Again, here the Michelle's the one leaving mm-hmm. him behind. So mm-hmm. he's more of a compelling character for TV, though. So if they're not both back together yeah. next season, he'll probably be the one who returns to the show. If they don't,
it could
both
be like, you know, it'll be interesting dealing with two divorces, I think, because I think Jax and Brittany are done. Because, I mean, you saw how he was yelling at her, that kind of like off camera thing, mm-hmm. like kind of behind the scenes, mm-hmm. like yelling at her type of stuff. And I mean, granted, it sounds like she doesn't deal with alcohol very well. It doesn't do very well in her system. So mm-hmm. she probably should quit drinking, just because like you and I, Nate, like, it just makes us sick now. So it's like, let's just like, might as well just avoid it.
Is that Brittany?
Oh God.
Brittany. Yeah.
Well, Brittany, going back to VPR, there was a time a doctor told her you have an ulcer and it's because you're drinking too mm-hmm. much. And like you said, I don't think it's like alcoholism. I think she drinks like a college.
No. That's what we're saying.
It's like shots. And she's just, it's cute how she says she's not feeling well. She won't say hangover.
Oh yeah.
She vomited the way from Malibu to Valley Village because she has a tummy ache.
but she did vomit in individual bags that she set aside, and Jax was at least impressed by that.
Yeah. You know, when you're married, it's just the little things that get you through the days and the years. Oh, anything else from the Valley?
Well, I just want to say, Jordan, how much of a kindred spirit did you find in Janet, where she talked about how anytime a friend tells her an address, she immediately Zillows it. I was like, oh my God, it's Jordan. This is Jordan.
She knows. In case you guys, by the way, wondered how sometimes I have this, like, you know, PCP exclusive, on, especially on these shows, The Valley, Vanderpump Rules, they'll be like, this is how much they put down. This is their monthly payment, blah, blah, mortgage. Yeah, no, I do what Janet does. Mm-hmm. I'm happy admitted it.
I did a post on our Instagram, or story on our Instagram, because I was like, this is Jordan. This is Jordan Ross Myers. Like, mm-hmm. you guys are separated at birth. Like,
I like to know. It's just like, I like to know the same way she does. I don't know. Walk into a situation, it's good to have your bearings. I also have to say, with her, the way she's stirring the pot, I appreciate, because she's pregnant, so she can't drink, which is a downer for a show like this. So she's entertaining herself. She's creating a show, ruining lives around her, and then they can't blame her because she's pregnant, so no one's going to confront her. She's in a pretty sweet spot.
This is true.
Yeah. She walked away from that racist telephone game of telephone, where she is the one who started it, but she kind of Kristen got all the blame, so the rest of them just skated, but Janet's the one who started it.
Yeah.
She's like a little like bomber, like I don't know, like a person, I don't know, like I was gonna say Unabomber, but kind of like a Unabomber, like sending out these like packages of like destruction to people's lives, and nobody knows quite. We know it's that shadowy figure over there, but like
she drops a grenade then backs up into the shadows.
Mm-hmm. Well, she had said up until she became really pregnant, she was an executive assistant. You know, an assistant. I didn't catch to who, but assistants deal with a lot of drama management and navigating these minefields of different. So she does have some skill. Survive as an assistant can be, I don't know if it's a high profile person, or I don't know if it's a company or like a rich individual, but there's a lot of drama, and you know, she knows what she's doing. She's with a straight face, makes everyone else, like you said, throws bombs at them, and she just sits back and smiles. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's the dream. That's the dream. You know else, actually, how you can make our dreams come true? The best and easiest way for you is to click subscribe. That is right. Make sure you subscribe to Pretty Corrupt Podcast, because that way you don't even have to think about it. Notifications drop on Tuesday for Bravo Breakdown, Thursday for PCP Pop Culture, and also the surprise PCB exclusive bonuses we throw in there sometimes. And of course, another way to make your life easier, but also our dreams come true. Follow, rate, and review. We are on Instagram and TikTok at Pretty Corrupt Podcast and Twitter at Pretty Corrupt One. And of course, from there, you can find all our personal accounts, Stacey's, Nate's, and mine, and our own journeys into spreading chaos amongst our friends and trying to avoid the consequences. So, on that note, who wants to say bye?
Adios. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it.